Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and this hour we have a special treat in store. Dan Knight is a Steinway pianist, composer, educator, and author. He grew up in Iowa and lived and performed here as well as around the world for many years. But now he lives and works in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But he's visiting home this week and agreed to come in and do the show. So this hour, Dan Knight is here, and we're going to be celebrating summer memories and music. And this is the way this works. This is not just a request show. When you give us a call at 866-780-9100, you need to tell us a story, a summer memory, and maybe it will include a song. Tell us about that song, and Dan will play the song. He's got the keyboard ready, thanks to the nice folks at West Music in Coralville, and we would love to hear from you. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send your stories to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Dan Knight, welcome home.
Good. It is home. It is home. Welcome. It's so good to be here.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you. And we were talking about summer music. And of course, we always talk about, you know, the song of the summer. But we're not limiting this to, quote unquote, summer music. If you have a summer memory that includes a song, we don't care if that was the song of the summer. You tell us the story. That's what we want, right?
The story's the whole thing. It truly is, yes.
Right. And we have to say that popular music up until a certain time is in your head floating around. So when would you say that time is, Dan?
Yeah. Somewhere about in the middle of the 1980s, I think, probably.
All right. So we're looking for your older summer memories.
I hit some loops every now and then. But yeah.
But you can tell us the story anyway. Even if Dan can't play the song, we want to hear your story.
Exactly.
Absolutely. 866-780-9100. And again, the email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. But before we dig into those summer memories, I want to talk about the work you've been doing recently, Dan. And of course, I had you on the show not that long ago.
Yes.
To talk about the piano concerto you've been composing, inspired by Jackson Pollock's Mural, which is the most famous work of art owned by the University of Iowa. And of course, it's been traveling the world. It was nearly lost in the floods of 2008, but it was saved by the Figge Museum in Davenport. It went to the Getty Museum in Los Angeles to be restored. It's on tour now around the country, although it's been abroad as well. And Dan, you've been studying this beautiful work of art, and you have composed a piano concerto, which is now finished, right?
It's finished. I actually did it.
That's so exciting.
Done. My wife is more astounded than I am. And I actually got it done early. It was due on the 15th of August, and I turned it in on the 5th. So I had 10 days to spare. And that's all of you who know me know that that's a really rare thing. So, but it was a wonderful experience. It felt like it was a culmination of a couple of decades of real work, just basically because Pam Trimpe and I first started talking about this when I did recording in a series of things called Pictures at an Exhibition in 1997, and the pictures were all from the Elliott Gallery at the Museum of Art. And so we finished that. It was a nice project, a really nice project that I did in collaboration with University Museum of Art and the whole arts group at the University of Iowa. And when we finished it, I said, you know, Pam, really, I said, the project we should do is a piece of music based on Mural, you know, because that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. That's the massive, the single most identifiable piece of modern art in 20th century. You know, so and it was
the
it
massive
was groundbreaking.
Masterpiece. Yes.
Yeah, it's you know the great masterpiece that kind of fostered in this whole area of abstract expressionism, and Pam said, "Well, what would you do?" And I said, "Well, I'd do a piano concerto probably," and I tried a couple of solo piano pieces based on it. But we talked about it, and then I met and just kind of fell in love with the playing of René Lecuona. And she and I started discussing it right from that time. And finally, a couple of years ago, we just kind of said, well, you know what? I think maybe it's time to get serious about this. and we said, well, you know, maybe we could put it together. So the first performance could be when Mural comes back on this big legendary kind of tour that it's been making of the world. And when it finally gets a home, it could come back to the Museum of Art at the University of Iowa. And they said, well, this is great, you know. So we had it kind of set up, and then there was no museum. So we've been...
They're working on it. They are working on it. Ground has been broken.
I will say this. I said, when the museum opens, I will come home. So Mural and I both will have our house back. We can come back to Iowa City.
Oh, we would love that. So there will be a performance, but you don't have a date set?
The idea is that it will be kind of the crowning thing of the return of Mural to the University of Iowa Museum of Art. When there is museum, so we have to kind of wait for that. I'm hoping that we can figure out a way to get some parts of the piece performed by Renee and some things done as solo piano pieces. But the piece itself kind of won't happen until, and we'll all get to hear it.
All of the parts are in place
when everything else happens. So
I know you were really inspired by the colors in Mural. That is the thing. These striking colors that are chaotic on the canvas, but also just so powerful together. Mm-hmm. So as you were composing, you focused in on those colors?
Yeah. So I can play some of them for you here.
Yeah,
now.
We'd love that.
But the whole thing is based on some things that happen with the strings, and it's in the E-flat minor. So that's the color of burnt sienna. So that happens in the strings here. And one of the tricks was trying to figure out something melodic to kind of tie the whole thing together with, but there's really no single focus in Mural. There's no central sense of a particular image. It's just this beautiful piece of energy that all just kind of links together. So the trick was to try to find some melodic sense in the colors. So that's the color yellow. And then this is the color green. This is the color red. And it's kind of fun because I can play it with my arm. So if you put it all together, you can take red. And then mix it with burnt sienna. So that's how the whole piece kind of goes together. And it doesn't really have any kind of metric form, but it's kind of free flow. And it's beautiful. So the concept of the piece is that the first movement is contemplating the canvas. So it's kind of open, and it's Jackson Pollock represented by the pianist, in this case, which will be René Lecuona, who will sit and listen. So the pianist goes out, puts the pedal down, and the pedal makes a sound, and then the pianist bows her head, raises her hand as she makes the sound with the pedal, and as her hand goes down, when her hand hits the keyboard, then the orchestra starts. And the idea is that the sounds that are happening in the pianist's head are what's being recreated in the orchestra. So the pianist sits and listens, and the piano reverberates with the sound of what's going on. And then in the second movement, the piano just kind of explodes. So like all the information is there, and the thing just goes, And then you get this beautiful, almost fugue kind of thing that happens when all the pieces of the orchestra start speaking to each other. And then the third, so that's the deconstruction of art. And then the third movement is masterpiece. So that's the actual piece itself. And that was the most fun. So
the third
movement's like 10 minutes, almost 11 minutes long. And it's just gorgeous, even if I say so. It makes me cry every time I listen to it. So I figure that's a good thing.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But it's done. It's finished. I feel like kind of liberated at the same time. But now I really want to hear it. And so I don't want to wait. Get the museum going, please.
All right, we've been talking about Dan's new piano concerto inspired by Jackson Pollock's mural, but we need to get down to some summer memories here.
Yes.
And again, this is how it works. You call and share a summer memory that includes a song, and Dan will play that song for you. And I think we have time to slip one in here before the break. Jane is on the line in Eldora. Hello, Jane.
Hi. I'm really from Algona.
Okay.
And my summer memory is that I was getting married to, and in the year 1966, and Lover's Concerto was all over the radio, and I wanted it for our recessional because I just thought it was such a lovely piece. And as we were walking down the aisle, I thought it would be so neat. But as we were walking down the aisle, my sister had fainted, was lying in the front pew of the church, and everyone had rushed over to take care of her, and I don't think anybody heard the concerto or noticed us walking down the aisle.
Oh, no. What an amazing story, though, Jane. So
yeah.
we don't have a lot of time right now, but Lover's Concerto, is that one that's in your memories
yes.
from the summer of 1966?
Can you sing part of it for me? Can you tell me?
Oh, I can't. I am not a great singer, but you know, it just is flowing and beautiful and talks about how love is so wonderful. The Supremes did it.
The Supremes. Well, Jane, thank you so much for calling
and
for sharing that. And you know what? We are almost at a break. So, Dan, if you want, we can wait and play a little bit more of Lover's Concerto when we come back. But I'll let you play us out. You got it. I hear it. I'll let you play us out to a break, but we'll give Jane a little bit more when we get back. You're listening to Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me this hour is Steinway pianist, composer, educator, and author, and true Iowa treasure, Dan Knight. Unfortunately, he lives in North Carolina these days, but he's back in town and decided that he could stop by and do a show with us today.
Oh, so grateful. Sure, yes.
And what's happening here is that we've got a request show going on, but the way you get a musical request is you need to share a memory. You need to share a story about something that happened in your life and some music connected to that, and Dan will play it. We're celebrating summer memories and summer music this hour. And if you have a story to share, you can call us 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is the jukebox you pay with your memory. And Dan will play the song up through the early to mid 1980s.
There we go.
But we want to hear your story, even if it doesn't fall into that category. But so Jane called with her amazing wedding story with the song no one could hear because everyone was distracted at her wedding. But play a little more Lover's Concerto for us.
That's that's, yeah, what a great song.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's one of those songs that just makes you happy.
Absolutely.
Anytime you hear it.
That's such a beautiful choice for a recessional. It's too bad no one could listen.
Yes.
All right, let's go next to Gabriel on the line in Fairfield. Hi, Gabriel.
It's Deborah.
Oh, Deborah. Hello, Deborah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's all right. I had just come over from England, and I had met some young people in Freeport, Long Island, and they told me that at 10:30 at night that they were going to drive into Manhattan. We had a convertible, and we got into Manhattan about, I don't know, midnight. And as we were driving into Manhattan, the Loving Spoonful came on with Hot Town, Summer in the City.
Oh, how perfect.
I still feel that car and the heat and the excitement of being in America.
Oh, how perfect is that? Deborah, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Absolutely perfect. Sometimes the stars just align, don't they? What a beautiful summer memory.
Oh, wow.
All right, let's go next to John in Ottumwa. And this is a friend of yours, Dan. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing, Charity?
Good.
Hey, good morning.
I'm the nervous brother. I just wanted to remember that back when we were kids, nobody had air conditioning.
Yes.
And so in the summer, everybody would either be out on the porch or they'd have their windows open, and Dan would sit and play. And the song I really remember is Summertime. I think it's from Porgy and Bess, with Paul Robeson singing it.
Yes.
And that just seemed so neat to me, because we'd be sitting there just sweating and trying to cool out. And there would be Dan playing, and you could hear him for blocks around, and everybody would be quiet, listening to Dan play that. And people would call down the street and say, "Well, Dan play this or Dan play that."
Yeah, you were taking requests.
They
even
did. I was probably 7 years old, 8 years old. Yeah. And look, brother, it's so great to hear your voice. And we had.
Oh, it's so good to hear you, bro.
Well, where we lived,
I love you so much.
I love you too, brother. But we lived in the east end of Ottumwa, Iowa. That was back in the days when the John Maryland Company meatpacking plant was in full operation, and it was the largest meatpacking plant in the entire world. So we lived within a quarter of a mile of this place, and it was back before the days when they had any kind of like real rules according to what they had to do with the pieces of carcasses of whatever they couldn't use for hamburgers or hot dogs or whatever.
Okay.
So folks all the way through the year would just take this great huge pile of things, whatever they were, and burn them in the back. So we had we had this great smell of burning rotten flesh. You know, that was
this
just kind of permeating,
this was going,
just
Dan,
permeating
okay.
everywhere. You know, so and nobody had air conditioning, so you were forced to go outside and kind of entertain yourself and hope that the breeze from Morel's was going the other direction.
And you must have been taking one for the team, sitting inside and playing the piano.
For sure
you
it
were
was.
Sweating
you know,
more than
so,
anybody.
Right. So everybody just kind of went outside and sat on their porch, and we all talked with each other, and folks sat around and sang, and they did the best they could do to entertain themselves. And you couldn't be inside to watch TV because it was just not possible. It was just too uncomfortable. So we sat outside, and I played the piano as loud as I could, and it would...
How beautiful. I can just feel the heat and hopefully not smell the smells. John, thank you so much for calling. And of course, you can call with your story, your memory, your song at 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Next up, we have Akash in Cedar Rapids. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What's your memory?
Good morning.
So this is kind of weird, but so 10 years ago, okay, let me start from the beginning. So I take piano lessons from Wendy Davis in Cedar Rapids.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if Dan,
yes,
Dan,
I
you
do.
Know
Wendy's wonderful. Yes, I know Wendy and Kirk.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
She's a great friend of mine. Yes.
Exactly. So about 10 years ago, you did a piano concert in Coralville, the West Music in Coralville.
Yes.
And I think maybe later that week, you came over to my house for dinner.
I
and
remember.
So you were playing,
ha!
Yeah, so... So
it's
that's
so good.
Me. We cooked Indian food for you, and then
yes.
we played piano for you.
Oh, it was
and all
fantastic.
That stuff.
Oh, and your family is so nice. Just what wonderful people.
Thank you. So when I heard your name on the, I was listening to NPR today, and when I heard your name, anyways. So the song that I remember that you played at the concert was, there was like these two lovers on opposite sides of a bridge, and they met in the middle or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but.
All right.
Yes.
Well, Dan knows.
Yes.
Akash, thank you so much for calling.
That's a great story. And it's so wonderful to hear from you. I hope you're doing well. I hope your family is great. It's a long story that I will make very short. It was the third year that I played at the Montreux Jazz Festival. I got to play there in 1997, 1998, 1999. In 1999, they told me I would never play. When I played in 1997, the concert went so nicely that the director of the concert, the festival director, Claude Knobs, came up on the stage and asked for two or three requests on the stage. So I played his requests for him. And at the end of the third request, he said, Dan, he said, we have to ask you back next year. So it was the beginning concert of the Acoustic Concert Series. And then, so I knew I was coming back in 1998. But then in 1998 said, you know, Dan, this is going to be the last time because nobody has ever played 3 years in a row. It just does not done. So then 1999 came around, and just before the festival was supposed to start, they said, Dan, we have a real problem. We have an open date, and nobody can fill it. Can you come and play the last date, one of the last dates of the festival? We said, yes, of course. But then all of a sudden, that meant that Julie and I got to fill in our bucket list with all the things that we had never been able to do in France and Switzerland because we were always just coming in and leaving and we didn't have time to prepare. So one of the things that we wanted to do was go to Monet's gardens and visit his place in Giverny where he created all these pieces of beautiful art. So I went, planned on taking pictures. I opened up my little Canon Elf and the lithium battery in the camera exploded.
Oh, no.
So Julie looked at me and she said, maybe this is the universe trying to tell you that you need to write music. And so I did. And I took my glasses off and everything I looked at looked like a Monet painting. So we went immediately to the Japanese garden. So we went to the Japanese bridge and I heard this song. And it's this idea of a young man on one side and a girl, beautiful girl on the other side. And the two of them meet together in the middle of the bridge, and then they walk off together. So this is a day in the Gardens of Monet. This is a Japanese bridge.
Thank you.
So that's how it goes.
Oh, that's beautiful, Dan. That's wonderful. Akash, thank you so much for calling.
It's so nice to hear from you.
All right. You can call and share your memory, your song at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's a memory from Lily in Iowa City. She says, my favorite memory happened in the late 60s, growing up on a farm and not being able to drive yet. My boyfriend and I often spent evenings in a field on a blanket looking at the heavens. Our song was Baby, I'm Yours, till the stars fall from the skies. She says, summer nights always bring that memory back to me. Wonderful. And here's another, you don't need to play Summertime again, but Dorothy in Eldora has a great Summertime Porgy and Bess story. She says, my younger sister and some of her friends were walking beans, hoeing corn and other weeds out of the soybean field and singing. Yeah, visceral memories. And singing at the top of their lungs, summertime and the living is easy, except they were all covered with sweat and sunscreen. So they modified the words to summertime and the living is greasy. All right, let's go back to the phones. Sherry is on the line in Ames. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
My summer story has to do with baseball. So baseball has connected my family all across the country, all across the years. Whenever one of us was away, we all came back to Royals baseball. And I remember sitting in Minnesota in my dorm in graduate school trying to find a Royals baseball game and ended up finding a station from Salina, Kansas. And it was all crackly, but I could hear the baseball, and that was what was important. And so for me, The Boys of Summer by Don Henley is like the epitome of the summer music. It's the one song that prepares you for the whole rest of the summer of baseball.
Oh, it is, but you know what?
Such a great story.
It's kind of one of those things that has escaped me, and I can tell you why it escaped me. It's I had a bad reference to it. I was playing for the Big Ten Championships at the University of Iowa, and I was sitting playing a keyboard, and the kids at the University of Iowa wanted the Boys of Summer for their song when they warmed up. So the University of Iowa was playing Ohio State, and I played the Boys of Summer. And then somewhere in the middle of the first, second inning, something like that, Ohio State, there was this guy named Mike Mulligan. Ohio State hit what was obviously to me a foul ball along the first baseline. It kicked up dust and rolled off to the right. And as Mike Mulligan was going around, standing up, rounding second base, the first base umpire signaled that it was a fair ball. So instead of playing Boys of Summer, what I played was. And the assistant athletic director was sitting next to me, and he said, Dan, did you just play that?
Yes,
I just played that.
Right.
Then we were live on ESPN. We were live on ESPN. Everything was going out. You know, there was like, and George Ween was the athletic director, and he said, the guy said to me, he said, well, maybe George didn't hear it. And then about 2 minutes later, I got this call in walkie-talkie. He said, Dan, would you come to the press box, please? So I looked at the guys and I said, does this mean this is the end of my hot dogs and root beer? Yeah, so somehow or other, I just kind of like shut the Boys of Summer out of my brain, you know? It's just, yeah, so I wish I could play it, but unfortunately, it's just not in my...
You can't. It's too traumatic a memory.
Yeah, it's too traumatic, yeah.
Oh, Sherry, that is such a great story. I love that you shared that and prompting Dan to share Your ridiculous story.
Yes, exactly.
Sherry, thank you so much for your call. Of course, you can call with your memories and your stories. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've got about a minute and a half before our break, Dan, so you could play us Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, sure.
That doesn't have a traumatic connotation, right?
No.
You're listening to Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. More summer memories and summer music coming up in just a moment. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me this hour is Dan Knight. He is a Steinway pianist, composer, educator, and author. He grew up in Iowa, lived, performed in Iowa and around the world for many years. He moved to North Carolina a few years ago, but he's home right now and agreed to come in and do a show with me, which we are incredibly grateful for. And this hour, we're talking about summer memories, and Dan is playing summer music. This is how it works. You share a story from your life and include a song, and Dan will play that song if he possibly can. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've got Roger on the line next in Lisbon, Iowa. Hi, Roger.
Well, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Roger. I'm well, and yourself?
Great. What's your story?
Okay, so I grew up in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul, and the first thing that I remembered is battling the traffic for my summer job doing warehouse work at International Harvester, and the song One by the Three Dog Night came on, and it was, one is the loneliest number, and I was commuting alone, and it just seemed to sum up what was happening, but then I said the other song that gets is a year and a half later, my wife and I got married, and we sang Follow Me to each other in service in front of the library at Luther College.
Oh, that's so lovely. The happiest ending the song One has ever had.
Yes.
Roger, thank you so much for your call and for sharing your story. You can join us too, 866-780-9100. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Dan, you have a summer memory
yes,
for us,
I do.
Too.
This could only have happened in Iowa. I used to work for a certain music company in Ottumwa, and they had an office. They had a store in Fairfield. Used to have a store in Washington also. And Harry Carter was a great guy to work for. It was a wonderful music store. But I would go, because I was a keyboard person, they would send me over to the Fairfield store about once a month. And they had keyboards there, but the only thing they really sold was guitar strings and guitar picks, because the kids at Maharishi would come in and want new strings for their guitars. So they had all this material there, but they had keyboards and there wasn't anything for me to do. So I would sit in front of the store and sit and walk around and do everything I could do to help, but there just wasn't much going on. And one afternoon, it was a Saturday afternoon, I looked up and I saw people, it was right on the square, and I saw people bringing big sound equipment in and stacking it around the band shell. And I thought, something different is going on here. I couldn't tell what, because they didn't have any signs, there wasn't any notice, nobody knew. So I started talking with some of the merchants and they said, well, we don't know what's happening. And then I looked up as the sound equipment started going up and they had microphones happening. And then all of a sudden, I saw Mike Love, and I said, wait a minute, the Beach Boys are going to sing in Fairfield on the square.
What?
So it was before one of their tours, and they all did Transcendental Meditation. So evidently what they did is they called the county sheriff and got a hold of the police chief in Fairfield and said, you know, they said, we have a tour coming up in like a few weeks or so. We'd like to play. If we could, please, we'd like to have a rehearsal out in public.
Oh, yeah, maybe. We'd let the Beach Boys
play.
So
they said, yes, you can do it, but only if you don't tell anybody that you're going to do it. So you can't announce it. You can't announce
it. They didn't want any
crowds.
Because,
no, they would have had 10,000 people in the middle of Fairfield in about like half an hour.
Right.
You know, so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden here, you know, so they're playing Good Vibrations. And I thought, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life, you know, because here we were in Fairfield and all the old folks and everybody, all the cool old people were coming in, because everybody, all mom and pop, always came to Fairfield in the middle of the Saturday afternoon to do their town business.
Right.
Because everybody stayed on the farm. They didn't come into town until all the work was done and all the chores were done for Saturday morning. And then you came in and you did your banking and all that other kind of stuff and maybe went to the grocery store and then you went back out. So there was just like normal Fairfield doing its regular thing and the Beach Boys are singing, I'm digging this good vibration. And folks are just walking and going like, wow, what's that? You know? And all the high school and college kids were coming out of the woodwork and going like, oh my, what is happening here? And so they played until like in the early part of the evening and they probably had like close to 1,000 people there by the time they got done.
Wow.
But
you imagine the frantic phone calls that were made?
Oh, yeah.
You from payphones.
Right. Yes, because, you know, because that was back before cell phones.
Sure.
So everybody had to dial a landline and then try to get somebody at home. It's like, oh, you missed my call. You wouldn't believe it. The Beach Boys were singing in Fairfield. And, you know, and people.
Oh,
and,
talk, you know, about summer serendipity. Yeah. What a beautiful moment.
Only in Iowa. Only
really
in
only
Iowa.
In Fairfield. I'm
yes,
afraid.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true, too.
Oh, that's fantastic. You can share your story, your summer music memory at 866-780-9100. Patricia is on the line next in Waverly. Hi, Patricia.
Hello, Patricia.
Hello. I'm so glad I got this call down, because mine is also about a small town in Iowa in the summer. But my weekend started on Friday, because Friday nights was so exciting. The stores stayed open.
Yes.
And I was probably about 10 years old, and I would be waiting for my friend Marilyn to get ready, and we'd walk downtown. We'd go to the popcorn stand, and I'd get a blue popsicle, and then we'd just wander the streets and had so much fun. And that was the summer. Anyway, I remember the song Downtown
by Petula Clark.
And you know, of course, she's singing about a huge town, but my metropolis of Waverly, Iowa was I always sang that song to myself before we left.
Oh,
it was
that's
wonderful.
Great. You had the bright lights and big city of Waverly, Iowa. That's fantastic, Patricia. Thank you so much for your call.
So, you know, when I think of that song, I always think of Mrs. Miller. You know, when you are lonely, you are always... Oh, Mrs. Miller was wonderful. Yes.
You should
look up Mrs. Miller downtown.
All right.
Yes, Mrs. Miller.
I was going to say that whenever I hear that song, I think of downtown London. So now I'll think about Waverly.
See, and it's always downtown Atumbo for me. It was the same kind of thing, yes.
Oh, that's great. Patricia, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Roberta in Panora. Hello, Roberta.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. What's your story?
I grew up in a very small town, 350 people here in Iowa. And my mom had three kids in 3 years, three daughters. I'm the baby. And she loved to sing to all of us. And one of my favorite memories is You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, nice. That just brings back a lot of warm summer memories, I'm sure. Roberta, thank you so much for your call. We've got a couple of love stories here on email. This one is from Linda in Iowa City. She says, in the summer of 1957, my husband of 58 years, congratulations, she says, my husband Ray and I were just dating, and we saw the beautiful performance at Starlight Musicals in Indianapolis of the musical Desert Song. That was their hometown. And she wants to know if you can play the song One Alone from Desert Song. Lovely. And this one's from Anne in Iowa City. In 1961, my high school boyfriend and I were going to graduate and go our separate ways to college. We went to a drive-in movie and saw A Summer Place. I loved the theme from that movie, and I think of my old boyfriend every time I hear it. We're both 76 years old now. Lovely. We have time for a few more stories. If you want to get in on this, give us a call, 866-780-9100. David is on the line from somewhere in Wisconsin. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hi, what's your story?
28 years ago, I met my beautiful wife, who's from Keota, Iowa, in a little town in Iowa, Wabeek, Iowa, north of Cedar Rapids, at a blues concert. And we've been married over 25 years, and just wondering if your pianist could maybe play any blues song that would bring me back to that summer day.
All right, David, thanks a lot
for
your call.
I'll play Lovesick Blues. How about that?
Perfect. All right, we've got Linda on the line next in Atumwa, Dan's hometown. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Linda.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. 40 years ago, you took an awkward high school girl and helped her win a talent competition in a junior miss pageant.
I remember.
You remember that?
This is cool.
And then you played my favorite pianist, and you agreed to play in my wedding 38 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
And if you could, either of those two songs, like the Entertainer, which you taught me to play lovely.
You did it in the Junior Miss competition. You knocked the socks off
the
thing.
Well, you helped me win an award on
yes,
it.
Yes, you did. Used to be Linda Van Alst.
Linda Van Alst then.
Her dad, Chuck, was one of my dad's best friends. Yes,
oh, that's great. And so what did he play at your wedding, Linda?
I remembered he played a Gordon Lightfoot song, Beautiful.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you could, either one of those, The Entertainer or Beautiful, it would just be wonderful.
All right, Linda, thank you. Thank you for your call, Linda. And we have a wonderful story from Lachelle. And she says, I would call in, but I would cry. She said, I grew up in California in the 60s. And a few years ago, I had to take my 19-year-old son to the airport and drop him off as he left to work in the tech industry in California. I couldn't breathe and couldn't look back at him. All of these songs remind me of that place, and I sing all of them as I'm packing up to go visit him. If you go to San Francisco, be sure to wear flowers in your hair. Leaving on a jet plane, and she said, when I leave, I always hear in my mind, I left my heart in San Francisco. She says, I'm flower farming now here in Iowa and plan to take my son a flower garland when I visit him soon. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Lachelle, thank you for your story. Unfortunately, we are out of time for more stories. But Dan Knight, thank you so much for doing this with us. And thank you for coming back to visit.
Thank you for bringing me back home. This is like, I live in North Carolina, but I'm an Iowan, and this is my home, and it always will be.
Well, and anytime you come home to visit, you know that you are welcome here on Talk of Iowa. I also need to say a big thank you again to West Music in Coralville for providing the keyboard today that made it possible for Dan to share all of these memories and this music with us. And we've got 15 seconds, but why don't you play us out with the Beatles' Long and Winding Road, which leads from here to North Carolina?
Yes, it does.